You're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, just here to let you know that this episode has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Recognize this music? It's our theme music, kind of. Let's listen. Grace Potter and the Nocturnals with Nothing But the Water from their 2006 album by the same name. And that was the inspiration for the Vermont Edition theme music, which we asked Grace and her band to create for us over a decade ago now. And ever since then, we've been trying to get Grace Potter actually on Vermont Edition. Today, I am so pleased to welcome her to the show. Grace, what a pleasure. Thank you for coming.
It's so good to be here.
Does it sound weird to hear? I mean, usually we don't play your voice, but does it sound weird to hear your music on Vermont Edition?
You know, it's like flipping through a yearbook from ninth grade, you know,
and
like
reading all embarrassing.
You read all the notes that people wrote to you and you're like, what was that inside joke? There's a lot of that happens when you have recordings that are starting to take on the years like that. So,
you know, this probably doesn't even rise to the memory bank for you. But someone apparently at a local concert years ago yelled out to you, play the Vermont Edition music about Nothing But the Water, and then told us about it. And I've always wondered if that rankles you or if you're okay with it.
Oh, I'm so okay with it. I'm proud. I'm proud to be your guys' bookend. You know, it's a really wonderful thing. And whenever I'm home and I tune in, I get to hear it. And it's definitely a blast from the past, but it's also very current because it's still what you guys are talking about and the topics and everything. It just sort of ties it all back together.
You grew up in Vermont. You grew up in Waitsfield. Mm-hmm. You talk about how you grew up with artistic parents. And another VPR connection is apparently your dad, Sparky, who's a mm-hmm. sign maker, made the sign on yeah. the window of the Montpelier Bureau yeah. for VPR. So, yeah. you know, we've got Grace Potter connections all
over the place.
Place.
Yeah, Sparky Potter has left his scent through the state of Vermont in many ways. Let's just put it that way.
You describe your upbringing as one that was, you know, kind of hippie,
yeah.
ski bum, but one where you were really in touch and in tune with a lot of other artistic people. You
yeah.
know, that this was a part that just swirled through your life and your upbringing.
Yeah.
So when you started to go down a musical path, did that feel like a natural extension of your childhood?
It did and it didn't. I think it was a slight step to the left from where my family comes from, but I had already explored those outlets. You know, I'd painted houses professionally with my sister and I'd explored theater, and that wasn't quite right. You know, reading lines that other people wrote didn't really feel like me. But I've always been very tactile and I love using my hands. And so a musical instrument in my hands just came naturally.
Grace, you recently bought a house in mm-hmm. LA County. You live out there now. So how do you feel, or what do you feel is your connection to Vermont?
Well, I always say I'm bi-coastal because really I've never lived anywhere. I've never been able to plant my feet even here in Vermont because we were on tour so much. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It was 10 months out of the year, you know, for 13 years of my life. So even saying that I was from Vermont was really partly it wasn't true. I was from everywhere that I was at that time, and I would miss home a lot, and I think Vermont is always going to be home in that way, you know. And I landed here this morning after a red eye. I said we're home, but I think I really needed to plant my feet somewhere, and especially somewhere that I feel has roots that I get to grow that aren't just me living in my parents' amazing history and house. I was literally living in my parents' house this whole time. I've been living in my dad's old sign shop. So it was important for me to be able to establish a life beyond that. And I didn't expect it would be quite so far away from Vermont, but Topanga, California has been a wonderful nurturing community for me.
And of course, you know, even if you didn't come back for other reasons and to visit family, you're back every year for Grand Point North, which
always.
Is coming right up this weekend. It's
yeah.
a festival that you founded in
yeah.
2011. You want to tell us about some of the highlights this weekend?
This is a big year. This one's special. And it is a little odd. It's an oddball year because it's the first time I've never decided to forego a headlining slot. But, you know, your ego softens over the years. And I think letting Trey Anastasio take the headlining spot is kind of okay. I'm really excited about that. And also about all the bands that are going to be there. Some of my friends, the band Dawes, they're also from LA, are phenomenal. The band Joseph, who every time I hear their song on the radio, I get so excited. Mondo Cosmo, who I just met recently at a 4th of July barbecue. And the list of local bands this year, which is a really – it's sort of the crown jewel in Grand Point North, is featuring Vermont's finest. It's how I got out there, you know.
Tell me a little bit about that, how it felt when you started going from, you know, a group. You founded Grace Potter and the Nocturnals when you were in college, mm-hmm. with some buddies. And, you know, I imagine that there are sort of dreams of stardom that we all have, whatever our field. But then you also have, you know, your sense of reality and sense of day-to-day life. And it must have just been amazing when
it
started
really
taking off.
Not really. When your parents are Sparky and Peggy Potter, they just kind of are like, do it. Whatever you want, you know. No.
So you mean you always thought that this was going to be fame and fortune?
I absolutely 100%. Not fame and fortune as much as just like, this is going to work. You know, you can't pause and have a thought that it isn't, because then it won't. You know, people, I really believe that your thoughts and the words that you speak are the things that come true or don't come true for you. And people who live in a negative space and talk about how bad things are going to live in a not so positive situation, are going to find themselves in that. And the opposite is true when you really think every moment is you making it. And that's exactly how I describe my career and my life with music, is that there wasn't a single moment where I was like, is this working? I don't know if this is working.
Not a single moment?
As I've grown up, that's changed a lot. And there's been lots of challenges, but I don't see it as fame and fortune as much as I see it as like, this is a crazy idea. Let's definitely do that.
Let's go to Julie, who's calling in from Gaysville. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
This is actually the second time I've spoken to you, Grace. About 10 years ago, we were at a show of yours with my children, and my daughter went back to get your autograph and to meet you, and she asked you if you were related to Harry Potter.
And did I tell
and
her
you
yes?
You just got this big grin, and you said, yes, I'm his sister.
I've been known to answer that question and confuse a lot of children. Is she okay? How's she doing now?
She's doing great. She's in college now, and she remembers that. She still has the paper that you signed, and I just thought you were incredibly gracious and
that's
wonderful to her.
That's so fantastic. That makes me happy to hear, and I'm glad I didn't scar her with my little white lie there.
And let's hear from Keith, who's on the line with us from Moortown. Hi, Keith. You're on the air.
Hey, Gracie. How you doing? This is Spider D. Moonglow calling.
Oh, hey. How are you? Oh, man.
Good. I just wanted them to hear about the little review shows you guys all, the three, used to give for us at Christmas time and stuff at the house, and about your grandma playing piano with you and Ruth, your piano lessons and hardwood and stuff, and that's all.
Yeah, there's a lot of incredible memories there.
It sounds like you guys go way back.
It's a lot of memories. It's an amazing thing to go back, because I've been writing music, and I've been thinking about what got me started and what got me wanting to make that music, and it really has, it's come full circle back to me sitting in a living room with a piano and having those memories. So thank you for reminding me, because those are things I've been digging for just even now as I'm writing. So it's great to hear.
Grace, you received the Governor's Award for Excellence in the Arts in 2015, and you accepted the award at mm-hmm. Harwood Union High School, your alma mater.
That's right.
Wonderful occasion, really full of celebration. And then you were back at Harwood Union a year later for something that was much more somber. And this was to celebrate and mourn the five young people who were killed in that really horrific crash on I-89 last fall. What made you feel compelled to add your voice to that moment of collective mourning and also celebration of these young lives?
Because if I had been at Harwood, and I would have absolutely needed and wanted that. And when I heard the news, it was an unbearable, it was an unimaginable circumstance. It really felt
too heavy for any one person to bear. So me coming in and doing a tiny bit of lifting and hopefully lifting of the spirits was I didn't even have to think twice about it. We were on a plane instantly, and it really came home being there in person. It was one thing to say I would do it, but it's another to be in that space and to see so many souls just really vulnerable and open and ready for help, ready to receive that community spirit, because there's really nothing else you can do. Grief is a very strange beast, and it comes and goes in waves. And I think it's important to bear witness to it and to allow yourself to sort of surrender to it when it's time.
I want to play a little bit of the song that you performed at the memorial service. It's called Stars.
I followed your ashes into outer space. I can't look out the window. I can't look at this place. I can't look at the stars. They make me wonder where you are. Stars up on heaven's boulevard. And if I know you at all, I know you've gone too far. So I can't look at the stars.
It's a really beautiful song. It must have been difficult to perform under those circumstances. What was the original inspiration for that song?
Well, that song was also written about someone who we lost that was a local friend of mine, someone I grew up with, who she was always a real light. I used to get her hand-me-down clothes, and they were always my coolest clothes. And, you know, I had a memory of her as a very strong person. And so and she sadly took her own life, and mental illness played into it in a way that really struck home for me. So I felt that I didn't know I had a voice to give to it, actually. I started that song, and I thought it was a breakup song. And then got to the chorus and realized what was really coming through my subconscious and how heavy it was weighing on me. And again, like I was talking about grief, it just strikes you in very different ways and unexpected ways. And songwriting is a really wonderful outlet to have for that. But again, it was in celebration of someone, remembering the really, you know, out of this world parts of someone.
Was it a surprise to you when you realized, oh, that's not the song I thought I was writing? Or is it more that something wasn't working and you had to you know, shift it?
I've been amazed at what I think I'm chasing and then what it comes out to be. Every time when I'm writing a song, I'm like, oh, okay, this is definitely not what I thought.
So it sort of comes to you. It speaks to you rather than you twisting it.
Absolutely. I'm not a song crafts person. I don't craft songs. I do not know how the formula works. It's a part of the reason my record companies have always struggled to figure out what song belongs on the radio, because I don't write music for that. I write it for – it's just kind of coming through me, and sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But usually when it does, it's an interesting moment of feeling like I'm speaking for somebody else. And, you know, that's a very interesting role to take, because sometimes you don't really have ownership over it if it doesn't feel like you're the one that wrote it. But again, that the topics, especially when they start creeping up, I know that my subconscious holds a lot of that in there. And I know that we all have messages that we want to convey. And sometimes music is the best way to say what you can't say any other way.
We got a note from Luciana, who says, I grew up with Grace and her sister,
Lucci.
Charlotte.
Hi, Lucci.
Who's also an amazing artist, she says, of Charlotte. And funnily, she was working security at Nectar's when Grace's band did their residency there. I remember the first show as being a normal Tuesday night crowd, but by the second show, the line was down the street.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, this girl is going to go far. And she has.
And Lucci, I send my love to you. She's just one of those lights in the world, and we've had many wonderful nights hanging out with her. And that's the thing about being from here is, and being reminded of all these experiences that made me into who I am. I can't say that a single one of them wasn't it was all part of what brought it together. Momentum is something that follows you, and Vermont creates momentum. It was the big fish in a small pond thing you know, whether it was – I didn't mean to do it that way. It's just that I could afford to pay rent at my parents' house. But it ended up being the perfect place for a meteoric rise, if you will, because it was really only meteoric in Vermont, by the way. It's not really – it took a lot longer elsewhere. But it felt – that's part of why it always felt like we were succeeding, why the band and my music was working, because I had people around me reminding me of how cool it is that I get to make music for a living.
But you also mentioned earlier that part of the reason to try to put down roots in Southern California is to get away from that, not in a bad way, but because, you know, Vermont claims you and people call in and they're writing in. And I remember you when you were this age. And as a fellow Vermonter who had to leave for a while, you know, people know you when, and then that frames how they see you now. Yeah. So does that feel uncomfortable in a way in terms of your own personal growth?
You know, I've come to peace with it now. But it really bothered me for a while because that ownership was attached to other people's feelings. And I didn't understand that it was attached to their feelings. I just took it as like, I liked you better when you used to make this kind of music. And I really wish you'd stop messing around out in California and come back and put your cowboy boots back on and do the flannel thing. That was also just me taking on a role and a character. And I think that I always felt really confused as to why my identity was cemented somehow in something that was only a small piece of me. And it took me a really long time to come to peace with that. But I see it now as what is really people maybe missing something about themselves or missing something about when they look in the mirror and go, God, I really liked my life better 10 years ago when Grace Potter used to make that blues music. You know, like, and that's fine. It's okay. But I, as long as I can recognize that that's something that they're holding for their sake as well, you know.
We're talking with Grace Potter more in just a moment, and you can ask her a question or share a memory by calling 800-639-2211 or post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Here's a little bit of Paris Ooh-La-La from the 2010 album Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. If I was a judge, I'd break the law. And if I was from Paris, if I was from Paris, I would say, I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking with Grace Potter, songstress, entrepreneur, Vermonter by birth, by ownership. Mm-hmm. That was Ragged Company. My head is swirling with your music because in preparation for this, I listened to, I think, all of your albums.
Yeah, the full plethora.
Yeah. I have a lot of Grace in my head. And, you know, you really belt.
Yeah.
How do you protect your voice?
I've had a lot of experience with singers who fall apart and have shown me their methods, and everyone has their own little secret thing that they do. I have no secret. Either works or it doesn't work. There's one person who is similar to me, which is Daryl Hall. His mother was a vocal coach, and you know, things would come very naturally for him. And just diving into singing really loud is apparently very bad for you. But I've always found that, you know, warming up too much, or drinking too much tea, or trying to take care of yourself and sort of treat your voice like it's some special little fairy that needs to be tended is not actually serving the energy of the music all the time, especially when it comes to belting. But you know, I'm still young enough that I haven't lost the thing in my voice that is me, and I'm not a smoker, thank God. So it's definitely been a process of figuring out what works and doesn't work. The only time I lose my voice is when I get sick, and then I'm trying to sing through the sickness. But other than that, yeah, it's been working so far.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm lucky, though. I think it's not advice I would just give anybody. Just go in for it. Just go full vocal range. I don't know. I'm kind of a foghorn like that.
We got a note from Claire who says, your albums all have refreshingly different sounds. How has the writing and creative process changed throughout your career?
That's a great question, and one that I wish I knew the answer to better. The whole studio process and creating music and writing music and then recording it has always been a bit of a mystery to me, mostly because I started out live, and I started out in living rooms playing what I could muster from what I had around me. And then as the things around me grew and there was more gear and there's more ideas and there's people who want to co-write songs and there's bandmates with ideas and there's producers that bring in their ideas, everything changes. And I think I've always been really open to that. I really like collaboration. I've always been fascinated with the film and TV world because it takes hundreds, if not thousands, of people to make one product. And I love that. It's a really fulfilling thing, and it takes so many things working properly in order for it to actually come through the front door and be able to be heard. So every record, it kind of feels like I'm starting over, which is daunting for everyone around me. But I've been lucky enough to collaborate with some incredible producers and musicians. So it always seems to come out in the wash.
I want to talk about your 2015 solo album, Midnight. And it does have it to me sounds like a bigger departure from some of your other work.
Yes.
Than other albums.
Very intentionally.
Yeah, it's slicker. It's more poppy. It was made out in L.A. And I mean poppy in a really positive way. Like it's definitely sort of sloughs off some of that twangy sound that you've been known for. And I know you had a lot of your Nocturnals bandmates perform on that album, but it was yours. It was really your album. And it was very clearly a departure.
Yeah.
Was that a function of internal band dynamics not letting you go where you wanted to, or just a sound you needed to explore on your own?
It was something I needed to explore, but I think there were subconscious intentions buried in that, which was, and now I see it clearly as, like, I was very much energetically and musically feeling, I mean, David Bowie's my favorite musician of all time, and has he ever done anything the same way twice? No. And so it wasn't so much like, I want to go be a pop princess, as it was, if I don't do this, I'm going to explode, because it's been inside me the whole time, you know? And with bandmates who all have those feelings in all different directions, you know? I mean, every band member that I've ever had has dreams and aspirations of one sound or another that are part of who they are. And then everybody sort of collaborates and combines into the middle with a compromise sound. And that compromise can sound amazing. That's what makes a band a band. But there are times where, I think when you're – it's like being a caged creature, and then you finally sort of get out of that box. And I think it was a defining moment for me, not because it was me stating this is who I really am, but this is a part of who I've been all along that has been hiding, you know, beneath the surface. And it was really, really empowering to be able to get that out.
Oh, I want to play a little bit from that
album
so people have a sound of it.
Please
this do. Is Look What We've Become.
To keep your head down, they told you not to run, they told you we're sorry, you're not the fortunate one, they told me to keep it quiet, said my day would never come, so I screamed.
I don't know how anybody can sit still through that. I mean, you sort of have to at least bop your feet to that.
Aww.
Let's go to Regina, who's calling in from Waterbury. Hi, Regina.
Hi. Grace. Hey, I just wanted to say, I live in Waitsfield now, but back in the day, I lived in Burlington, in South Burlington. And what's amusing and interesting to me is I used to come see you down at Halverson's all the time.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like my standard kind of date night.
Oh.
And growing up, I have a son who is like 27, and once I moved to Waitsfield, he saw you in Waitsfield and had you sign his guitar, and my son loves you. And that's what's, you know, so interesting and amusing to me is we see back in the day, back in the 60s, like from my generation, you know, young people love that music, right? We always say they loved our music. They don't have music of their own.
Totally.
But all of us have you, Grace. So you have that in common with the Beatles and the Stones.
Oh, Regina, that's such an amazing sentiment. I really appreciate you sharing that. Thank you so much.
I have been reading up on some of the comments that have been made outside of your little bubble, Grace, since the Nocturnals broke up.
Yeah.
And your former guitarist, Scott, has been speaking out about his frustration with how the band sort of went as the years go on.
Sure.
And he told a music news website after leaving in 2015 that he actually feels a little bruised. I'm going to read a quote. He says, "More and more the rest of us were treated and looked at as hired backing band. And to be honest, that sucked after putting in years of work building the band from the ground up and being such a big part of the sound and vision." And he specifically is mentioning the fans and how he felt like he was treated by the fans and by other artists. And he says it was a gender dynamic, that when you have a strong female front woman, that that's where people gravitate to. And I'm wondering how you feel about that, because it sounds a little bit like sour grapes, but I'm sure there also is a gender dynamic that plays out in a lot of different ways.
It's always been, I've always seen it as an advantage. And not because I think that females demand more attention, but when a female knows what they're doing and can present themselves in a professional setting and provide a backbone, as opposed to just being like the pretty girl that's dancing on the side and playing the glockenspiel or something, you know, like it's very important to me to be able to make that statement and have that power, but also to share it. And it was frustrating for all of us. It was definitely a dynamic in the band that I remember. I had a T-shirt that I made for a cover photo shoot that never ended up being published for the right reasons, which was that I had, you know, this was in 2006. The T-shirt said, "Why isn't my band on the cover of this magazine?" And that was what I wanted to wear for the cover. And I think it became my cross to bear, and it really ended up being really difficult, because by pointing it out and sort of focusing on it, like you said, sour grapes is sort of me speaking for other people and addressing other people's issues, as opposed to just enjoying the experience of creation, because the ego is the dangerous part that comes into play, and that was a huge component in what went wrong there.
You live a life in the limelight, and you have a level of fame where you have to make a formal public announcement on your website when you divorce your husband, Nocturnal's co-collaborator, drummer Matt Burr. How does that level of public scrutiny and interest in you and in all of your personal affairs jive with how you see yourself and how you protect yourself?
Well, that one was important because my life and Matt's life had moved on in a lot of ways, and there was a huge component of our community who didn't know at all. So addressing it was actually quite empowering for both of us, I think. I can't speak for him, but I know that that we had that mutual respect going into it, and then we approached it from this perspective of like, this is okay. It's been going on for a really long time. We hadn't been together for a very long time, so it was it was a long time coming, and very freeing and empowering to be able to live our lives and really allow it to go forward. But it was a bummer to have to talk about it at all. I don't like talking about any of that stuff, you know. But it's interesting, apparently.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you about what you're doing now, because I understand you took a little bit of a break from music. You needed to just have some space, but you're back making music now.
I just started renting a studio, and I have the piano all moved in. The piano tuner was there on Saturday, and now it's getting real, and I've been writing a lot. There's an unbelievable bed of music to dig through in the last 2.5 years of my life, and I've been making voice memos all along. So I've just started going through them, and it's really wild. I mean, I think I have about 3 albums worth of music here.
Oh, so to steal your phone.
Oh, I know. I keep it very safe.
Well, Grace Potter, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. So wonderful.
Listeners, the annual concert Grace started, Grand Point North, is this Saturday and Sunday at Waterfront Park in Burlington. Tickets are still available. We have a link at vpr.net.